This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. And we turn our attention now to the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse and its founder, John Schwartz. He's with us this morning, and he's talking about how we can really take care of ourselves and our families. John, how can folks get a hold of you for more information? I don't want to forget that vital information for our listeners.
Hey, thank you very much, Freddie, and really glad to be back. And they can contact me on my website, and I'll spell it out. It's ENDEFA.org. And I'll say it again. It's ENDEFA.org. It stands for End Elder Financial Abuse.
There are people out there who are really trying to separate our elders from their money. What can our listeners do to help protect themselves from elder financial abuse, John?
Hey, Freddie, that's a great question. And thank you very much. So this is the number one thing that we tell individuals to do, and that's to conduct a vulnerability assessment. And why should they do that? Because that's exactly what these financial predators do. And they do. They really do this assessment, and they look at the following factors. So these are the factors that I think your listeners should consider, and I have eight of them. So the first is your age. Are you 65, 75, 85, or above? And also, is your partner still alive, or are you widowed? These play into it. Those are probably the two most important, because if you take a couple that's 65 years old, healthy and playing golf a couple times a week, and assess that with an 80-year-old widow, the 80-year-old widow is a much higher risk. So that's why I say those two. Also, I just touched on this, but is the elder person active in the community, or are they isolated? Additionally, do they have a trusted and responsible family member living close by or far away? And that plays an important part, because if that trusted and responsible family member is a day's drive away, then you're much more vulnerable. The fifth one, Freddie, is are you healthy or do you have a illness, right? Because the predators will look at that. And that's what elder financial abuse really is. These predators will prey on the weak. And if you have a severe illness, they will absolutely go towards that. Associated with that is a high risk of dementia. And of course, that's a huge risk factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I would say, are you susceptible to an investment scheme? And that depends on if you're confident that you have adequate life savings, because what we see is some people will become a little bit anxious about how much they have in their life savings, and they'll become a little bit desperate. And desperation is another thing that the predators look for. And then closely associated that is our final one, susceptible to romance schemes. Is the elderly person lonely? And lonely people are a great target for the elderly. So, yeah, those are the eight factors that we look at, Freddie.
So understanding these factors, what can we do this weekend to protect ourselves from being a victim of someone who's trying to conduct elder financial abuse?
Hey, thank you very much, Freddie. So, hey, the first thing is conduct an assessment. And what we advise individuals, start this assessment process at age 65 and conduct it annually with a trusted, responsible family member. Because the earlier in life that you begin this process, the better. Because if you get used to it at age 65, by age 80, it's old hat and you've already been doing it, and you have a better understanding of the process. But if you try starting at 80, you may feel overconfident. Well, I don't really need this. And then you are really at risk. So that's one thing, Freddie. The other thing that I would say, after you conduct that assessment, identify the vulnerabilities and then work with a trusted, responsible person or family member to reduce these vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Then, Freddie, I've just got a quick list of a couple of other ideas. So the other thing would be consider getting an additional telephone number, because some of these predators already have your telephone number. And if you're receiving a high volume of numbers that are scams, go ahead and consider getting an additional telephone number. Number five is very important. Do not click on links on text and emails. And we've all heard that before, and that I can't emphasize that one enough. Then also, this is a really important one, Freddie. Some of these tech support schemes, they'll scare you into thinking that you have a virus on your computer, and they'll be speaking to you through your computer because they've gained access through it. And they'll rush you and say, listen, we need to act quickly, but first we need to identify you. So please just pull out your driver's license and hold it to the camera on your laptop. And when you do that, Freddie, they have your information, and that's the attack. Now Wow. They have you.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it's tough, Freddie. It's really tough. And then also consider freezing your credit. You know, that's a personal preference, but I didn't want to throw that out there. And then also have a trust and responsible family members visit more often. If they do live more than a day's away, maybe just one more visit per year will make the difference. And then finally, Freddie, two more pieces here. Slow down relationships, because that's what these predators will do. They'll try to speed up a relationship. I don't care if the tactic is for a romance scheme, a grandparent scheme, an investment scheme, or tech support. It's hurry, hurry. Time. We don't have time to waste. And that creates confusion. And that's an excellent tactic by the predators. So you got to be looking for that. And then finally, with these romance schemes, I'll mention romance schemes because these are very prevalent. But if you've connected with somebody, ask the and you have not seen them yet, you've only connected via email or Facebook or on the telephone, ask the individual to conduct a video call and have a friend or trusted and responsible person there with you during the video call. If the person's legit, they'll have no problem with that. But if they're not legit, now you've just identified a predator.
Wow.
So those are the ideas, Freddie.
Well, that's
a long list.
It is a long list, but it's certainly an important list. And thank you for keeping us up to date on how we can stop financial elder abuse. What's that website one more time, John?
Hey, you bet, Freddie. So it's endefa.org. And again, it's endefa.org. It stands for endelderfinancialabuse.org.
He's John Schwartz. He's the founder and president of the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse. And this is New Beginnings. And now it's time for Outburst, where I'll be sharing a few excerpts from my upcoming book inspired by the timeless wisdom of Words to the Wise. Today, we're taking a trip down memory lane while I recall the special Sunday spent with my grandparents, a time that filled my heart with warmth and anticipation. Growing up and living with my grandparents was a unique experience that I thought was shared by everybody. I thought everyone lived with their grandparents. It was a place where the aroma of sausage cooking and the mouth-watering scent of Arkansas fried chicken would awaken us from our slumber. But it was on those special Sunday mornings that something truly magical happened. The air would be filled with the heavenly aroma of hot-made biscuits, elevating our breakfast experience to a whole new level. While the rest of the week called for simple cornflakes in the mornings, Sundays was something special. I would savor eggs, bacon, toast, and a glass of milk. The flavors seemed to dance on my taste buds, creating a symphony of satisfaction. Sunday mornings also meant an early dinner, usually around 2 p.m., unlike the usual 4 or 5 hours later. It was a time when friends from church, whom we would only see once a week, became an integral part of our Sundays. Dressed in our finest Sunday clothes and our best shoes, we would gather for church, transforming ourselves for that special day. It was a day filled with joy, laughter, and connections. The sense of community and the shared experiences brought us closer to one another and to our faith. And as I reflect on those cherished Sundays, I realize that the joy and anticipation I felt back then now extend to each new day. The memories of those special moments have shaped my outlook on life, teaching me to embrace the beauty of new beginnings. In each sunrise, I find a chance to start anew, to create more memories, and to cherish the connections I have with others. The simple pleasures of a shared meal, the laughter of loved ones, and the sense of belonging fill my heart and remind me to appreciate the blessings of each day. So let us rise to a new start together. Let's carry the spirit of those cherished Sundays in our hearts as we embrace the beauty and wonder that each day brings. I hope we can find the joy in the simplest of moments and cultivate a sense of gratitude for the connections we have with our loved ones and the world around us. I hope you'll join me on this journey of new beginnings, where we celebrate the richness of our past and embrace the limitless possibilities of the present. Together, let's rise to a new start and savor the beauty that each day holds. If you like more stories like this, be sure to stay connected with me through freddiebell.com, and let's embark on this journey of rediscovery and create a brighter, more joyful future, one new start, one new beginning at a time. I'm Freddie Bell.
Since its release, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell has inspired tens of thousands. And in these times, words of encouragement can be the difference. How about you? Could daily affirmations and words of encouragement make a difference in your life? Find out with your very own copy of Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Available at Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Even though the federal COVID public health emergency has ended, it's important to take steps to protect yourself from the virus. The ending of the public health emergency does not change the availability of COVID-19 vaccines. Vaccines will continue to be provided by the federal government through the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. It's also anticipated that COVID-19 vaccines will transition to the private market in early fall. You can learn more details about the transitions at the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me right now is Kathy McClear, State Director for AARP Minnesota. I just have to ask you, we're about out of the summertime, and I hate saying that, but what's your favorite thing to do in the summer, no matter what year, no matter what time? You have to do it every summer.
Oh, I gotta go boating on the Mississippi River.
Boating on the Mississippi. Motorized or paddled?
Motorized, although paddle gets a little more exercise and, you know, a little more scenic, but typically I do motorized boating.
So a lot of exercise, and, you know, that's apropos for what we want to talk about today. There's a new outdoor fitness park in St. Paul at the Hallie Q. Brown Community Center, and AARP is the sponsor behind it. You're the force behind it.
Yeah, so when AARP celebrated our 60th anniversary back in 2018, we launched a really ambitious effort to create 53 fitness parks, so one in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. And the one that we get in Minnesota is right here in St. Paul at the Hallie Q. Brown Community Center. And this is really a way to highlight the work that we've done to make our community stronger, make them more livable for all ages, foster healthy habits and address health disparities, and just really create public spaces that can be enjoyed by anyone of any age. And so we're really proud of this effort, and we're really proud to have one right here in St. Paul.
So when you go to the Hallie Q. Brown, Center to take advantage of the exercise equipment, do you have to register? What's involved?
No, that's the beauty of this, Freddie, is that anybody in the neighborhood, anyone from the community can come any time of day, whenever they feel inclined to utilize that fitness equipment. And it's similar to fitness equipment that you might find in a really expensive, private gym. But these are all outdoors, and it has instructions right there on how to use the equipment. Folks can go any time of day. We do also have a contract to provide led group fitness classes led by a fitness instructor, and all of those classes are free to attend and led by certified fitness professionals. And we just, wanted an opportunity for folks, no matter who you are or where you live or what your income level is, to be able to really focus on your fitness and take some steps to lead a healthier life.
You have a grand opening planned as well.
We do. We're so excited about this. So August 17th, we will be at Hallie Q. Brown from noon to 2 p.m. We're going to have a couple of food trucks. We're going to have giveaways. We're going to have some music and give people a chance to just come take a spin on some of those pieces of fitness equipment, meet with one of the fitness instructors to learn how to use those pieces of equipment, and just get a better sense of where it's at and see that addition to the community. And we're so proud of it.
This is so apropos. There was just a story just a few days ago that says that just a few minutes each day of exercise really can turn the tide in a person's health. Is this in alignment with that? And what do you say to people who are just wondering whether or not they should get off the couch, Kathy McClear?
Yeah, and you're so right, Freddie. I mean, just a few minutes a day, whether it's just taking a walk around the block or, I refer to it as functional fitness. So as we age, keeping that strength up and keeping our muscles strong so we can climb stairs and take walks and lift the groceries is so important. And having access to this type of fitness equipment where you don't have to pay anything, and yeah, it might be a little challenging to use the equipment when it's a few inches of snow outside, but hopefully folks will come and give it a try and really learn to love, adding some fitness into their life because it is so important.
So exciting. This is in collaboration with the national nonprofit FitLot, AARP Minnesota, working with the local Parks and Recreation Department and Hallie Q. Brown. A lot of people have come together to make this happen. Do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience this morning?
Yeah, one thing I'd love to share is that the company that built the FitLot, that makes all the equipment, is located out in Delano. So it's not just good for the community, it's also a local business that had a stake in that. And if folks want more information about where they can find the FitLot or where they can take classes, they can visit aarp.org/mn.
Well said. That's Kathy McClear, State Director for AARP Minnesota. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Freddie.
And this is New Beginnings. We want to talk to you a little bit about your teeth. 90% of what people know about flossing, for example, is wrong. Brushing only reaches the exposed surface of a tooth. We all know this, but you can use tools to get at the hidden part of your teeth, like water flossing or an interdental brush. These are the small cylindrical brushes that you can push between your teeth. You've seen those. 90% of people floss the wrong way, that according to the dental experts. Swiping once between your teeth with a slippery floss doesn't do very much. You might get some food debris out, but bacteria and plaque really cling to your teeth below the gum line. So it takes maybe 5 to 10 up and down swipes below the gum line of each tooth to really dislodge it. The experts also say that the kind of floss you use is critical. I like the woven kind myself. It really seems to grab the plaque pretty well. The experts say that your toothbrush is probably too big, too hard, and too old. You need a small brush with extra small bristles. A small head is easier to maneuver in your mouth so you can reach all the tooth surfaces. A soft bristle won't harm your gum lines as much. It's recommended that you replace your toothbrush or the head of your electric toothbrush once a month. Now, when you buy your toothbrushes in bulk, the experts say they're much more cheaper than if you purchase a toothbrush one at a time. And what about the electric toothbrush? They say that it'll probably get your teeth cleaner. This is especially true for older folks whose plaque is stickier and more difficult to remove with the manual toothbrush because we produce less saliva. Now, this is really interesting. You don't need an annual dental x-ray. Most people don't need new x-rays any more frequently than every 18 to 36 months. Some dentists order them routinely every year, but it's a knee-jerk reaction and is really not the standard of care. Ask your dentist about this. X-rays are expensive and expose you to radiation, and that there are other ways to spot cavities. If your dentist orders then more often, be sure to ask them why. And another way to make sure that you're cutting down on the cost of your dental care and to make sure that you have healthy teeth is to snack smarter. It'll lower your odds for cavities. Crackers and pretzels made with white flour, sugary foods, and candy feed bacteria, which produce more acid in your mouth. Nuts, healthy meats, and a cup of green tea are better choices. Just trying to give you some ideas on how to live a healthier life, and especially as we give you some tips today on how to take care of your teeth. New Beginnings continues right now. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. In 1876, inventor Thomas Edison received the patent for the mimeograph machine. Most people considered that machine the forerunner of the copy machine. In 1899, A.T. Marshall got a patent for the refrigerator. In 1945, President Harry S. Truman signed the United Nations Charter. In 1963, 15 thieves stole over 2 million British pounds, that's over $7 million, in Britain's Great Train Robbery. In 1968, Richard Nixon was nominated for president at the Republican National Convention in Miami, Florida. And then in 1974, President Nixon announced in a national broadcast that he would resign the presidency the following day. In 1978, the famous Hollywood sign was taken down and replaced by a new one. And finally, in 1992, the U.S. Olympic basketball dream team won the gold medal, defeating Croatia 117-85 for the win. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Each year, financial fraud steals up to $37 billion from senior citizens.
It was devastating.
What are we going to do?
Many lose their entire life savings.
They told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
You wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app, and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to financial health and retirement with Label Sternbach. He's America's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and also the author of Authenticity. Label, welcome back to the program, and the topic is really intriguing. Glad to be with you today.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing well. The number is alarming to me, $8.8 billion. Label, that seems like a lot of money. I consider myself to be pretty savvy. How are people falling for these scams at such an alarming rate? And I know one person who fell for it. And I thought that this guy was much, much, and I know he is, much, much brighter than I am.
Yeah. So just to put it in context, like my mother-in-law, who, you know, CPA, she's 74, CPA her entire life. Her job as a CPA was, she was an auditor, right? So she would go in and figure out all the ways that people were cheating and hiding things. And like one of the savviest women that you'd ever meet. And she fell for these romance scams. And I read this really great article the other day in the Wall Street Journal, where they were saying, why is it that we fall for scams? And it really boiled down to one thing, which is scam artists have been around for a very long time, and they're really, really good at tricking our brain into accepting the information they give us, right? It's not like someone came to us and said, you know, if you give me $100, I'm going to turn it into $200, right? Or they came out to us and said, you know, I want you to buy this Rolex watch, right? I need to get rid of it and I'll give you a steal on it, right? We know those scams. Everyone's smart enough to avoid those scams.
Mm-hmm.
It's when they come along and they present the information and they present to you all the information that you need in order to think that it's legitimate, or to think that you're making the right choice, because they know how our brain works, because our brain has been hardwired through evolution, through, you know, life experiences, to just be predisposed to certain decisions. And when they come along and they put themselves in those decision paths, that's how they get us, right? It's not because we weren't savvy. It wasn't because we weren't smart. It wasn't because we made a stupid mistake. It's because they manipulated us based on human behavior to make us feel like we weren't being scammed.
Interesting. We're talking with Label Sternbach about romance scams. This seems like this goes beyond the level of financial planning. This is more psychology, is it?
So I think that one of the roles of a financial advisor in the lives of our clients is to help protect them from this type of predatory behavior. Oftentimes, we're the ones who will know first, and we're the first line of defense against these bad actors, right? So as a financial advisor, we meet with our clients on a regular basis. We see their finances on a regular basis. We know what's normal behavior and what's not. And when our client comes to us and says, hey, I'd like to send, you know, $5,000, $10,000 to so-and-so, right? When they need that money from us, we need to not just give it to them. We need to make sure that it makes sense. We need to have our antennas up so that we can help our clients prevent themselves from falling victim to these scams. And I think that, you know, as we get older, and it's not even just getting older. I mean, hell, I saw a TikTok video of this young guy. I mean, he's got to be in his, you know, late 20s. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how he almost fell for a scam because he got this email and everything about it seemed legit, right? And this is some, and he was looking at things that I would not expect any of my clients to be able to look for. And all of those things that he was looking for, all the things like who was sending the email, where it was being sent to, you know, did the link, was the link legitimate? All of that stuff that he was looking at are things that, you know, the vast majority of us don't even know to look for. And he almost got scammed. What hope do we, the rest of us, have of not being scammed? And so I think that us as financial advisors, and I think that, you know, investors, we need to make sure that we have somebody in our life, that trusted contact, that trusted professional who's kind of looking over our shoulders and who can check us before we get too far into, you know, whatever scheme it is. Because the one thing about all these schemes, it's never just one transaction. It starts as something small and innocent, but it will quickly escalate over time.
So you see a lot of these come and you notice them first, typically before your customers or your clients or the people that you're working with. What are some of the ways that you're seeing today that artists, these scam artists, and I don't even like calling them artists, to be honest with you, Label, that they use to trick people into thinking that they are really legitimate and should be trusted?
So the first thing I think is we need to get out of our mind the idea that these are just individual con artists, right? The error of con artists, and I don't know how many of our listeners have seen it, The Sting, really old movie, one of my favorites. But that was, you know, it's a movie about con artists who, you know, old school con artists who would, grab your wallet or whatever, trick you into making some kind of poor financial decision that benefited them. That is not what these people are. These are huge conglomerates. There are hundreds of people working oftentimes, you know, for other individuals getting paid, you know, a minuscule amount, many times working on commission. And their entire job is to get you to give them your money, right? And they may not even be working for individuals. They may be working for governments, right? It's known fact that North Korea gets a vast majority of its money from scamming people. So when we think about this, right, don't blame yourself for becoming a victim of this and for not spotting it, because these people are way smarter than all of us. And they've got a lot more resources than all of us. And they're making billions doing it. They're not doing it by doing stupid things. So that's number one, right? Now, how do we spot them? We spot them by looking for things that don't really fit our life, or that we need to challenge the things that come through, right? Because there's basically two ways these scams work. Scam number one is they come into our life and they look like something that we would normally get. So for instance, one that we get at work all the time is we'll get an email that looks like it comes from one of the principals in the company that'll say, hey, can you go buy this for me? Can you pay this invoice? right? And that invoice is, you know, a perfectly legitimate invoice. It's just not for us. And the link in there to pay it sends money to them instead of to, you know, one of our vendors. Mm-hmm. So that's scam number one, right? It's something that we're expecting. You know, we use PayPal. We get an email from PayPal saying, hey, we think there was a fraudulent transaction. Click here to verify. You click it and it takes you to PayPal, but you get it, you're paying an invoice for something that you never bought.
Wow. Right?
So you need to be more on alert than you have been in the past of, is this really legitimate, right? You get a charge on your credit card that you don't recognize, right? You dispute it. You get an email you don't recognize. You need to dispute it. You need to not even call the people. You need to completely ignore it, right? And it'll look like it's an important thing, right? And if you call the number in the email, it's a scam number. So you need to be very, you need to have a bias towards things are not legitimate. That's number one. That's, and the only way they come through and that we fall for them is that it's something that we were expecting and we took action on it without verifying that the action was legitimate and by verifying it independently, not through the ways that they try to get us to verify it.
Makes a lot of sense. I'm curious though, you mentioned these conglomerates they're setting up and this is what their whole plan is. And a lot of these individuals work on commission and very low commissions. And you said a way to spot is that they look like something that we might normally get. And if you got one, ignore the email, don't call. Do you believe that some of these conglomerate, these people who are scamming, believe that they're working for a legitimate company?
Do they believe that they're working for a legitimate company? No, I think they all know that they're scamming you. However, I believe that they feel that they're entitled to it. I'm serious. I've met a few people like this and it's bizarre behavior, but they believe that because they're in a poor country, right? That, you know, especially one where they don't have economic opportunities and they look at us in the Western world and they look at the life that we live and they're like, why shouldn't I have, you know, half of what you have? Why shouldn't I have a tenth of what you have? Right. The fact that you have this wealth is not fair. And so therefore, they feel righteous in the fact that they're taking our money.
It's really interesting. That's an amazing mindset that just because you are living a style of life, that I have the right to come after you and take from you what you've worked for all of your life. That's different.
Yes, so, it's weird, but that's the mindset.
Do you have anything at yieldsforyou.com that can help us to have a primer so that when we see something that looks really, well, it looks too good to be true, that we can spot it and take the appropriate action or non-action?
So the best thing I would say really is AARP's, that Scam Watch. They've got, you know, great stuff on there to go take a look. If you go to Yields for You and you go to the resources section, we've got some links to there as well to other places, as well as resources. If you think you've been the victim of a scam, right, you should reach out to your local police department. The FBI has got a department on it. There's several federal agencies that, you know, have dedicated departments to helping people with that. And like my mother-in-law, right, my mother-in-law got scammed. She's the FBI, because of the information she provided and some of the other people provided, the FBI was actually able to arrest a whole bunch of people in the scheme. They found one of the people, one of the principals behind it, where the vast majority of the money was going. And whether the victims will see their money back, I mean, now there's a potential for that, whereas before there was no potential. And we know that the vast majority of financial crimes go unreported because people are embarrassed. So you really shouldn't be embarrassed. And if you're embarrassed for yourself that you lost your money, that you fell victim for this, well, feel bad for all the other people and do it for them, not for you.
Interesting. So you mentioned AARP and their Fraud Watch Network, and there's a helpline. It's 877-908-3360. They're manning their hours, their offices 12 hours a day from 8 till 8, 877-908-3360. So what can I do today before we have to step away? What can we do today to harden ourselves to make sure that we're protected against, as we started out at the beginning, these romance scams or scams in general?
I think the thing is that we need to accept the fact that we are going to become a victim to some type of scam at some point. All of us will become a victim. There, it just, you know, statistical probability that it's going to happen, no matter how smart you are, no matter how savvy you are. I personally have fallen victim for scams multiple times. The question isn't, are you going to fall victim to scams? It's how much money are they going to take from you, and what protections do you have in place to recover that money, right? So whether it's using credit cards to pay for things, whether it's having somebody who's reviewing your financials on a regular basis, like a financial advisor or a trusted relative, right? Somebody who's looking out for you, who has your best interest at heart, who can say, you know, this person who you think that you're helping, they're not real. Right? They're really just a scam who's trying to take your money. Or even maybe they are a real person, but they're taking advantage of you. Right? You need somebody, you need that advocate in your life who cares about you maybe more than you care about yourself.
Mm. We got to leave it right there, Label. And again, thanks for scaring the hell out of us. This is some big stuff. That's all the time we've got today. Now, if you think that you are a victim or know someone who is, please contact your local police and FBI Financial Crimes Unit. We mentioned that today. They can help recover your money. They can help put an end to these crimes that are destroying our financial lives and our economy. The biggest reasons why these crimes continue is because they go unreported. So stay safe and stay vigilant. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. On the lighter side this weekend, two Oklahoma police officers have a funny story to tell after responding to a report about somebody heard yelling for help. Body cam footage from the officers shows them arriving on the scene in a rural area in Enid, Oklahoma, and soon discovering that the sound was actually a very upset goat. The owner explained that the goat was mad about being separated from another goat. McDonald's is liable in a lawsuit that claimed hot chicken nuggets left a girl severely burned. The jury found McDonald's in Fort Lauderdale failed to put warnings on the food that led to the child's injury in 2019. Another trial later this summer will determine how much McDonald's and the franchise owner will have to pay in damages. The plaintiff is seeking $15,000. In the 90s, a woman won a $600,000 lawsuit from Mickey D's for coffee that was too hot. For its part, McDonald's says it disagrees with the recent verdict, saying it has been safely serving its patrons for more than 70 years. An investigation is underway after a possible meteorite struck a home in Mercer County, New Jersey. The suspected space object crashed into a house in Hopewell Township and pierced a roof and a ceiling before landing on a hardwood floor. Police say it was oblong, metallic, and about the size of a large avocado. They think it could be related to a recent meteor shower, but have contacted experts to figure it out. The folks were at home, but fortunately, no one was hurt. A Michigan woman didn't let her baby's early arrival stop her from accepting her college diploma. Kelsey Huddy of Dearborn, Michigan, was in labor last weekend when she walked across the stage at Henry Ford College to accept her bachelor's degree in liberal arts. Huddy says even if she had her baby before the walk, she was determined to walk across that stage. After her aunt, who works at the school, told administrators about the situation, they let Huddy sit up on the stage and moved her up in the order to accommodate the unusual circumstance. Both mother and newborn Lila are home from the hospital and they're healthy. And finally, two very little boys are in pretty big trouble after they crashed their parents' car. The six-year-old and the three-year-old brothers sneaked out of the family's home in Malaysia late Wednesday night when their mother was in the bathroom and their father was asleep. They headed out to buy a new toy car. The six-year-old was behind the wheel when mom and dad's car hit a lamppost. Police say the older boy cut his chin and his brother was not injured, fortunately. On the lighter side this week on New Beginnings.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled. Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
My father, like the prodigious father, was embracing, loving, and empowering. One way he expressed that is he would always meet me halfway. Son, you asked the question. I'll help you find the answer. I won't answer it for you. Many a time I would say, Dad, what does this weird word prodigious mean? And he'd point. He didn't even have to say anything, because in the corner of our living room was one of those dictionary stands with his father's dictionary. It was about that thick. And that meant, I'm not going to tell you. Use your ability. Consult that word source. Find your answer. I will always have the ability to find your answer. But I'm not going to answer it for you. I wonder what he would have done with that opening statement. What is the question that your life is the answer to? Well, he would always meet me halfway. And here's kind of an extreme way. He said, whatever interested me enough so that I would earn half the money or put in half the effort to acquire it. My father said, I will meet you halfway. We'll go 50-50. Charles Fillmore said that was our relationship with God. God is our partner, always willing to work with us, but we have to make that first initiating effort. So I was 14 years old, and I put this strategy to a test. There was a historic church in a nearby town being demolished. The bulldozers were already there. The beautiful stained glass windows were being torn down, not saved, destroyed. And when the church was halfway torn down, it was a Catholic church, so in the back balcony still standing was the turn of the 20th century pipe organ. A beautiful organ and all the oak casework and gold pipes. It was elegant. I didn't want it to be destroyed. I said, Dad, let's buy it. So he did talk to the demolition contractor, and found out the contractor had dug a big hole and was going to just throw into the hole that beautiful instrument. They had a life-size sculpture of Michelangelo's Pietà. It was already in the big hole, broken from being cast into the pit. So the organ was next. He found out a price. I said, I've got savings for half of it. My father said, I made my promise. So it was purchased. And he went the extra step. He knew a man back home who had a trucking company. And he said, will you get one of your drivers who deserves a day off? I'll pay him, lend him a truck, and go to this little town. And others will be there to help to pack up this pipe organ that James has bought. Well, I'm sure he questioned his own judgment. If this was a wise course of action. But he was going to follow and fulfill his promise. And so after a lot of work and a number of people and many miles, it was a good distance, a couple of hundred miles from our home, the trucks arrive. And the extensive basement of our house was filled with this 100-year-old pipe organ. Many years went by, and I learned every detail by taking apart every little piece. Now, to be honest, I never put it back together to achieve a working instrument. It was beyond my skills at that time. But I learned a lot, and I kept that instrument from being in a hole. That is, I, with my father's help. And as time went by, I found a historic church in Kansas City. And up in their balcony was part of their pipe organ for that church. But it had no casework. So it was all kinds of mechanics sitting there loose. Not unlike our great St. Paul Cathedral. The organ in the back balcony that's so beautiful now. A friend of mine from Missouri restored that organ in 2013. And where it had sat there all bare bones and exposed, he worked with an architect and they built that beautiful wood and gold case that's in the cathedral now. So this was a smaller example. So I gave all this beautiful quarter-sawn oak carved work from my organ to that church. And to this day, they dressed and clothed the pipe organ they had, which was naked, and clothed it with this beautiful. So there is a happy ending to the story. So my father fulfilled his promise. On a much smaller scale, he was over the top generous. When I was graduating from high school, like our friend Jana Christensen, I needed a suit, and I went out, and of course, I picked out the more expensive suits, and I found one, and Dad said, well, let's get that. And I said, Oh, Dad, it's expensive. It's too expensive for me. And I'll never forget his response. Son, any suit in this world that I can afford, my son can afford. And he purchased that beautiful suit. I wore it for many years. Wouldn't fit anymore. But it sounded early on like a unity principle before I knew what a unity principle or even what unity was. And that is to realize We're all children of a prodigious Father. Whatever source can provide, His creation deserves, can receive. That's how my Father taught me, not unity as I teach it, but He taught me principles of life. He taught me promises should be fulfilled. If the source is great and wealthy, great and wealthy gifts can be provided for those who ask. Whatever I can afford, my children can afford.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.